time, you know that I've had a series covering who God is. Then I've had a series of what God wants us to be as a church. Well, now that Christmas is over, I'm going to talk about the presence as in P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, that God gives us as individuals, followers of God. So, as that, my illustration for the next several weeks will be a present. And the first present you're going to get today, there are several, will be my sermon. Yay! Just thought I'd have a little fun at the beginning. It's tough to be a pastor at times because with sermons, you know, you only, you know, I see you once a week and you go through the year and it's like some of you guys are Christians, you've been following Christ for a long time, so I got to remember that, and some of you guys maybe just be checking Christianity out and be like, I don't know about this. Well, for those of you that are checking Christianity out, you're not a Christ follower, you don't wouldn't check the box Christian on any kind of forms or anything, I'm not sure how you're going to take this, because as we talk about these gifts, is gifts that God give His children. So the best I can say, if you're checking Christianity out and you're not a Christian, then I would say, see this sermon series as what God wants to unlock in your heart, what God hopes you will be, what God would like to give you, the potential that you have in your life. And so, hopefully through this series, God will speak to your heart and continue to draw Him as we cover the different gifts. Now, this sermon will start out with introducing what are spiritual gifts, and we will cover one spiritual gift today. Next week, we'll cover three or four, depending on, you know, because I don't want to keep you here all the time, but you're going to see why I have to cover three or four a sermon shortly. But the questions I want you to kind of start pondering before this sermon starts, that you may be pondering already, is like, what, you know, questions like, what does God want from me? What is God's will for my life? And you have several of these different questions coming up. Those of you that come to church here and haven't really found your spot yet, what kind of ministries, if it's plural, does God want me involved in? Where can I naturally fit in? And so as you go over these questions, you begin starting to realize, has God gifted me in a certain way? And then as you think about gifts that God gives people, then you begin wondering yourself, why does God give some gifts to some people and not to others? Or does He give all the gifts to everybody? Well, if you want to know, I'll just tell you from the outset, my stance on is, I don't think God gives all the gifts to everybody. And I'll say why in a little bit. Mainly because I know of three or four gifts I do not have. They ranked really low in my life. So that's, at least I know I don't have all the gifts mentioned in the Bible. And as we go through the gifts, you may discover, yeah, that's not me. And so with that, I would say it goes back to the question, why does God give gifts to some people and not to others? What are the gifts for? So this will, hopefully, this series will open that up to you and get you to reflecting, what does God have for me? Now, at the very outset, at the very beginning of this sermon series, I want to say is, our real focus, our ultimate focus is the giver of the gifts, Jehovah. That is who our focus is, not the gifts themselves. Some of you guys may be super proud of your gifts, and you're like, all right, that's awesome, what a gift set. Or some of you guys are like, I totally wanted this gift, and that does not sound like what I thought it sounded like. So it's not about the gifts. It's never about the gifts. It's about the giver. And so I just wanted to start out with that. Before I have you turn in your Bibles, we will be in 1 Corinthians 12 for the majority of this sermon, but before you turn there, let's pray at the outset of the sermon. Father God, thank you for this time we have together. Thank you for what I'm learning through these gifts and the gifts that you've given me. I just want to thank you for that. I thank you for the gifts you've given them the congregation. They may not know them yet. They may have not developed them yet, but I thank you for the gifts you give your children. If people are checking you out and like, what does a relationship with God mean? Maybe through this series, the good gifts you give, not bad stuff, that they will figure out, maybe I do want a relationship with God. I pray for them as well. God, help me. Help me present your word accurately and clearly. Calm my nerves and other thoughts that are trying to push their way to the forefront of my mind. God, help settle my mind and settle my heart. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do find ourselves in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, the reason I had you guys, gave you homework last week, if you weren't here last week, then it may seem like I'm jumping all over the place. There are three main passages that have the gifts listed in them, and the surrounding scriptures talk about why God gives the gifts, what the gifts are for. And so I'm going to be reading from sections of those passages. That would be 1 Corinthians 12, which is where I asked you guys to turn because that's where we're going to spend the majority of the time, but also Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. Those are the other two passages. And so I asked you guys to read them coming into this, so hopefully it'll sound familiar. You've read it at some point this week, and it's like, okay, I kind of remember that's what Romans 12 says, that's what Ephesians 4 says. However, if you still want to check me up, you know, and you can flip really fast in the Bible, you have like a solid knowledge of where all the books are, then by all means, keep up. But I wasn't going to try. I tabbed my Bible so I can get there faster. So with that said, the first thing we're going to cover is the purpose of the gifts. What are the purpose of God gifting us? And the first thing is unity. I don't know if you were Sesame Street. Sesame Street's kind of fallen off the map with cable, and a lot of people, not many people go to PBS anymore, to my knowledge. But when growing up, Sesame Street always had a letter of the day or a couple letters of the day and numbers of the day, and you typically figure it out. Well, the first gift is a word of the day will be one. Anytime you hear the number one, you're going to clap. No, I'm just kidding. Don't really don't. Or a version of it. Same. You're going to see same and one as in the scriptures I'm going to read, and you're going to realize that unity, oneness, same is going to be an interlying theme throughout this passage. So with that said, we're going to start out in Romans 12, 4 and 5. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Now, you can stay in 1 Corinthians 12 because I'm going to finish up there, but I'm going to start 4 and 5, just a couple verses. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So there we are in Romans 12, 4 and 5, pretty much saying gifts provide diversity to bring God's kingdom. Diversity does not mean division. Diversity does not mean division. Just because we have a lot of different giftedness does not mean that we should be at odds with each other. In fact, we are one body. We are together. Now we see Ephesians 4, 4 through 7, kind of highlight this. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So here we are seeing these gifts are being given. It is to display unity. Unity is the key word, oneness. We are connected to each other. As I didn't have it in my original notes, but as I got to thinking over this, the more I went over the sermon, the more I thought very similar to a marriage. In that you are two individuals coming together, and yet there's supposed to be a oneness between the two of you. You are individuals, but you're supposed to be one. And so this is kind of the same idea except a broader scale. We are all bringing our individual gifts given by God together to be one body together. Now we will find ourselves in Romans 12, verses 4 through 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. I don't know if Paul got tired of writing one all the time, but now he's going same. Same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So why does God bring oneness and unity and sameness? For the common good. To lift up each other together. And then 1 Corinthians 12, we're not going to necessarily read it this week, but 8 through 10 gives these gifts that bring about the common good, that brings oneness, that brings unity. There's quite the diversity there, but it's for oneness. So that's kind of, not only did you get the gift of today's sermon, but this is, if there's not much you get today, you know, for whatever reason, this is something you should get. We should be one. We should be gathered. We should be unified. And that's what our different gifts do. They balance each other out. So there's a oneness. The second thing gifts do is they're a representative of grace. Now, I must admit, I couldn't really think of anything to put in this present, excuse me, to represent grace. I thought about a cross, but we didn't have a cross at our house put in here. But for whatever reason, imagine me pulling grace out of this box for you. Grace is a gift. It is not earned. It is not demanded. And is unique to each and every one of you. What God does in your life, that unique walk, for instance, because parents are Christians, doesn't mean the kids are Christians. Because the kids are Christians, doesn't necessarily mean the parents are Christians. Your walk with God is individual to each one of you guys. And the gifts He gives is just as uniquely designed as you are. From, at least I know in my life, and I'll tell you what my gift set is. I've already taken the gift test. But at least in my life, it seems like my gift set is really tied to how God made my personality, how I look at life, how I interact with life. So I think as unique gift set given to me, your gift set will be different and unique to you as well. But it is from grace. And again, we'll look at Romans 12. Romans 12, 6 highlights this. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Different gifts are a direct connection to grace. Kind of already mentioned that a bunch, so we'll just jump on to Ephesians 4, 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. This has been measured out. The grace, your gift, has been measured out by Christ to be given to you. And now with your finger in 1 Corinthians 12, I told you 8 through 10, mention the gifts. Now we're going to be reading verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Now we get back to, it's not something we can demand, it's not something we can work towards. This is given by God as God's will. Your gift, your spiritual gift, is given to you by God. God wants you to have it. God has a will and purpose in your life. It is by God's grace that we are asked to be participants in ministry. Representative grace. And finally, when it comes to the purpose of these gifts is to be for edification, to build up. And we see this in the rest of 1 Corinthians 12, or 12, and then we're going to read 12 through 20. So it's a little bit longer passage, so invite you to follow along with me, starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, That would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. There we see God's will again. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. 21 and 25 goes on to say that these body parts are indispensable. Each one of you are indispensable. Either whether you don't use your gift or whether you leave, the body is hurt. That's why we feel pain when people leave. You're part of a family. You're one. When you spend so much time worshiping together and spending together, and then part of the body leaves, you lose those gifts. Pain is bound to follow. All gifts are important and have a purpose to grow the body of Christ. Different gifts are needed for the body to exist. So if you're thinking that your gift may be lesser, I don't know, because humans tend to be comparative in nature. You compare, my family's better than that family, my kid's better than your kid. I mean, I don't know if we do it on purpose. Well, some of us may do it on purpose, but we tend to want to compare. You know, I'm not as spiritual as they are. Or maybe it's just competitiveness. Especially guys tend to, well, I don't know, there's competitive girls too, but all I know is the Greason family is a highly competitive family. Most of you guys probably know this, but I don't know if it's competitiveness. I need my gift set to be better than their gift set. That's not really the mentality God wants us to take. We all are to intermingle and work together well, not clash with each other. You should not feel that you are lesser than somebody else because of your gift set. You should not, on the flip side, you should not feel that you're better than somebody else because of your gift set. All the gifts contribute to glorifying God and growing the kingdom. They all interlock together. No, it's like saying one puzzle piece is better than another puzzle piece trying to complete the whole puzzle. They are all important for the completion of the puzzle. This news should actually free you guys both from envy and judgment. We should not, and free me as well. You know, we all are in this together. We should be free from envy and judgment. So, when you hear my gift set later and the gifts I don't have, hopefully you won't judge me or be envious of my position. And as you find out what your gift set is, if certain gifts sound great, because I'm going to make sure they all sound great as best I can. Even, you'll see shortly, the gift of martyrdom. What? Going to your death is great? Well, for the people who have that gift, yes, it is a great gift to have. Not necessarily my gift. I don't know if it's going to be your gift. We don't really know until the time comes. So each gift set has its purpose and has a greatness about it. And so we shouldn't be envious or jealous of somebody else's gift, and we certainly shouldn't be judgmental because that gift was given by God. If God deemed it appropriate for them to have that gift, then we should not be judging that person who has it. So we're going to now flip. So now we're going to change gears. Those are the purpose. That's the purpose of the gifts. Now we're going to go to the practice of the gifts, and we're going to find the practice of the gifts, or the at least the encouragement of it, in 1 Peter 4. So I'm going to ask you guys to turn with me to 1 Peter 4, practicing our gifts, and we're going to look at 7 through 11. Give you guys a chance to get there. Because, being that I am, I like to, you got to understand my style, because I work with teenagers to push them to step outside their comfort zone, push them to be a better person, to constantly push. So you guys get that benefit of a youth pastor. I'm going to push you guys. Not only is figure out your gift, but to push you guys to use it. So it sounds like the pages are dying out. So here we go. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the first thing we see here, 1 Peter saying, is be a good steward of your gift. Romans 12:1 encourages us to be a living sacrifice. This is our spiritual worship. I know I've told the teens, I can't remember if I've told you guys as an adult, it's not about us. Our opinion should not matter. It is all about God. It is God who gets the glory. So those of you who are checking out Christianity, this is a hard news for humans to take. We're kind of rebellious and we don't want it to be about God. We want it to be about us. And God, Peter's writing here, and in God's word, it's consistent saying it's not about humans. It's not about us as individuals. It's about God. That is who we should put at the forefront of every one of our thoughts and actions. So if you're not a Christian and that's a deal breaker, then you're going to have to take that up with God. If you are a Christian and you're not living that, you need to take that up with God. You know, you need to put God at the forefront of your life, no matter where that takes you, no matter what gifting He gives you, no matter what decisions, no matter what the consequences, God is to be first. And one of the things is to be a good steward of the gifts He gives us. Find a way to put your gift to use in life. It puts a realness to your spiritual walk. It's one thing to say, I'm a Christian, I totally believe the Word, but actually living out the gifts that God gives you, as you know the cliche goes, you're putting your money where your mouth is, you know. You're actually stepping up. You're walking the talk. However, whichever cliche really speaks to you, it gives a realness to your spiritual walk when you practice your gift. The other thing is that it's going to feel natural. Putting yourself in somewhere, if I pretend to have a spiritual gift, I don't, it's going to be unnatural, and you're going to be like, that's not Jonathan. That doesn't make sense. He's acting weird, you know. Your spiritual gift, as much like we're going to cover, spoiler alert, we're going to cover hospitality today. And it may sound awesome. It's like, I totally want the gift of hospitality. But if you don't have the gift of hospitality and you try to be hospitable, it's just not going to work out well. You're going to feel awkward. You're going to feel bitter. You're going to be like, these people are always at my house. What did I sign up for? You know. So if you don't have the gift of hospitality and you try to put that on and it doesn't feel natural, then it's going to be hard to grow God's kingdom because you're going to be bitter and sour-faced all the time. You're like, ugh, you know, get out of my house, you know, get out of my church. I don't know how, you know, how, but you're not going to react well. Your gifts, God's going to give you, it's going to flow natural. It's going to feel natural. So with that said, the current plan, just so you know, the current plan is eventually give you a spiritual gift test. There's one online. If you're dying to know ahead of time, like curiosity is just over, you know, just racking you, we'll try to get you the spiritual gift ahead of time. But here's the reason I didn't give you guys the test ahead of time. I just wanted you to read scripture first. Is I like for you to hear the definition of all the gifts before you actually see what a test tells you you are. I'd like to see the practical living, and you may figure out by the end where your spiritual gift is before we even get to the end of the series. You may already know. Some of you guys are going to hear hospitality and go, nope, that's not me. Definitely not. And that's okay. That's not what God gifted you with. So we do, but some, if you really need to know the test and you really want to know, then we can give it to you. Just let us know. Either me or our church secretary, Chris, either an email to either one, we can get it to you. So with that said, let's talk about the gifts for a minute. There are 25 gifts mentioned in the Bible. Some believe there are more gifts mentioned in the Bible, because, and I'll tell you their reasoning. The reasoning is, if you notice, each list is not complete. It's like missing others. So, and when they use that theory, that logic to say, well, if each list didn't have all the gifts mentioned, and we've seen this in our lives, then maybe God has more gifts He wants to give us. I'm going to tell you right now, I am only going to talk about the ones actually mentioned in the Bible. If you think exorcism may be your gift, then I'm going to let you study that on your own time. But if it's mentioned in the Bible, I'm going to cover it. Now, some people believe in our church, believe that some gifts have ceased. And we'll talk about that as we come to those gifts. I'll tell you which ones our church stands that they are no longer in play. But there's the list. There's all five lists. You see Romans 12, you see 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4 has the two. That's why we're covering hospitality, so you can just keep your spot. However, there are four others mentioned in Scripture that aren't a part of these lists. Martyrdom, missionary, celibacy, and voluntary poverty. They're mentioned in other parts of Scripture. So since they are mentioned in Scripture, we will be covering them. And we will be talking about them as well. So with that said, let's look at hospitality. Let's look at the first one. And where we find it is in 1 Peter 4:9 and 10. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another. So people believe that is saying that hospitality is a gift. We should use it to serve. And with that, let's define hospitality. What is hospitality? Well, I'm going to give you the technical definition first. The technical definition is to warmly welcome people, even strangers, into one's home or church. Another way to put it is to serve with food or lodging. It is a love of strangers. Just love of strangers. Now, what does that look like in practical life? What do I mean by that? People with this gift love to have people in and pretty much say, mi casa, tu casa. You know, my home is your home. Come up, put your feet up, rummage through the refrigerator, go rummaging through my cabinets. You don't even clean up your house. I mean, you just let people in. Come be a part of it. It is different than entertaining. Entertaining, we got a script, a verse here. The guy who says entertaining, and I'll read that in a second in case you can't. The idea of entertaining is you clean your house up ahead of time and you put your best face forward. You're like, this is who I am. And you do have people over to your house, but only when you're ready, when you're emotionally ready, when your house is ready. That's what entertaining is. You put your best face forward. The focus of entertaining is impressing others. The focus of true hospitality is serving others. You're not concerned with how your house looks. You're not concerned with how much of your food they are eating. They are just to be at your home. One outlandish story I read in the book, I'm like, oh my goodness, that is craziness. I think it's craziness, but I don't have the gift of hospitality. I may have a smidge. But the person, I was reading this book, and the guy, this one couple had hospitality. They went out and bought a car and gave the keys to the missionary and says, drive the car all you want while you're on furlough, and when you go back to the other country, just bring the car back. That is a gift of hospitality. And so you see people with this gift, and it's a fairly rare gift. Most of us, it's okay to want your house to look nice. That is okay. It's not a sin. What I'm saying is the gift of hospitality will welcome people into your home, let them stay a bit, let them stay overnight, whatever. It's just your home is open to whoever walks through the door. Whether you know them or whether you don't know them, your home is open. Why is this needed today? Why is hospitality needed? People need to feel welcomed by Christians in both their home and church. And this gift is makes them feel welcome. So I like this other one. This is really little words. People today are starved for the ministry of hospitality. If you've discovered, and you take it and you're like, I have the gift of hospitality, we kind of need you at the front doors greeting people as they come in, or roaming around and greeting new people, or just greeting people in general. People are starved to be warmly accepted. People don't want to be criticized or put down or given, you know, sideways glances. People need to be accepted for who they are. And when, you know, Jesus says, people will know you're Christians by your love, that is one way to love on people, is by, is through hospitality, welcoming them warmly. Yes, I want small groups. Those of you that will have small groups at your house, you need people with a hospitality. I've not forgotten small groups. I'm just saying. But those of you, you need somewhere for the small group to hang out and food to munch and whatnot. The, you know, kind of the gift of hospitality is those who would open up their homes to that. You need that to have small groups. Again, hospitality works together with that. Kind of a biblical example. I don't have per name per se. I mean, I can guess. Is one I know for sure is John Mark's family. Where Jesus had, we were just having communion, where they had the Last Supper, that house did not belong to any of the disciples or Jesus. That actually belonged to John Mark's family. If you want to know who John Mark is, it was the person who wrote Peter's words down in the Gospel of Mark. And so he was kind of nearby with it all. So we know they have it. Paul talked about when he traveled, he said people housed him and he thanked them for it. They had it. I can't decide if it Mary or Martha had it. Mary was at the feet of the Jesus kind of hanging out with him as he taught. And Martha was actually serving and making everybody feel welcome. Except she wanted her sister to do the same thing. So I can't decide, did Mary or Martha have it? I don't know. Didn't know him personally. What I do know, there are instances of people opening up their homes and saying, come in. I would guess that when Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem and he told the disciples, go get it, say the Lord has sent for it, that the person who loaned that donkey had the gift of hospitality. You know, because they just gave up, you know, I don't know if they were rich or poor, but they just gave up the donkey for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem, for Jesus to be able to use. So those are some biblical examples of hospitality. If you think you have the gift of hospitality, the church can use you. Again, like I said, as a greeter, that's a ministry you can be involved in, making people feel welcome. Another area is, I don't know, on the hospitality committee. If you just have the gift of welcoming people and making dinners and making everybody happy and feel warm and welcome at church dinners and whatnot, that's another good ministry. There are ministries for this gift. Remember, these gifts are to glorify God, not ourselves. I totally didn't tell you my gift set. I meant to. I don't have the gift of hospitality. I'll tell you what. I've already taken the test, and here's interesting. I knew one, I've already told you guys, the gift of teaching. I've known that for a while when I took a test a long time ago. But what shocked me was that wasn't number one. It was my number two, the gift of teaching. You're thinking, pastoring must be number one. Nope, that was number three, and that tied faith. So that kind of was two and three, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what is number one? Number one turned out to be the gift of knowledge. I retain things well, I hear things and retain it pretty well, and can then use it and know how to apply to life. So if you notice, knowledge, teaching, and pastoring kind of all link together. So that's kind of, if you want to know what mine is, that's where it sets. And hopefully through this series, you'll discover where you are. So with that, as a non-Christian, I really want you to know that God has a purpose for your life. He wants to have a relationship with you. And oh, I forgot my gift in hospitality. He wants to give you a gift. It may be hospitality, to open up your home for whoever may enter. It could be that gift of hospitality. That could be you. That's the purpose he could have for you. It could be one of the other 24. And there's 24. Either we're going to have 24 weeks one at a time, or I'm going to have to combine several of them, which I plan to do. I don't know what your gift is. I don't know what resonates with you. But God, if you're a Christian, God has a gift for you. He probably has already given you the gift and you never recognized, oh, so that's what it's called. Or, oh, that's why I've always had this yearning to do whatever because of this gift. And hopefully over the next couple months, you are going to discover and it's going to unlock your life, your spiritual life. You can put a realness to your spiritualness. So with that, let's pray. We'll have the ushers come forward shortly. Father God, thank you for this time we have together, and thank you for the gifts. Again, thank you for reminding us what the purpose is. Help us practice them once we discover. And if someone or multiple someone here have the gift of hospitality, may it have unlocked their heart to how they could love you in a way that's always seemed somewhat natural to them. They just didn't realize it. You gave them this gift. Maybe somebody's looking for their spiritual gift and they want a gift. God, I ask them, give them the gift of hospitality, because people need to feel welcomed and not attacked. People need to feel loved and not shunned. And you have gifted people to be able to do that. And may we glorify you. May all our thoughts be like, how can this please our Lord and Savior? I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.